have Brother Mark with us all the way from Nebraska. All right, very good. In town traveling through, Pastor Matt sent him our way. Look at that, Nate. And so praise the Lord for that. And some of you guys, I forget, you Navy guys are crazy with this stuff, but you're talking about boats or ships. Are they boats or ships? Boats. Ships are little, right? Boats. Oh, okay, very good. All right, very good. Well, I'm glad you were able to discuss those things together. Praise the Lord. All right. Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Some of you are, maybe some of you own your own business or have owned your own business or maybe even in charge of hiring. I know Rhonda, you hire a bunch of people on a, maybe even on a weekly basis. I don't know what qualifies a person to get to you. Maybe they just answer their phone or sound somewhat intelligent on the other end. Maybe there are qualifications. They hopefully turn in a resume, something of that sort. Maybe past experience, whatever it was. But how many of you have ever gone through the interview process? That's a little nerve-wracking, right? There you are, and they ask you, I mean, you're just looking to push carts at Wegmans, and they're like, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't know. You know, I'm 15 years old. I don't know that. I'm here because my mom made me, you know, that kind of stuff. But some of you had some high-level jobs. I know we were talking to Nathan a little while ago, and he's over at Harris, and he was going to the next step up, and he had to do a lie detector test, right? Is that true? Are we allowed to talk about this? Okay. So, again, you Navy guys and Harris guys are crazy. What? You had to go through this incredible screening process, and they had to find out, and they're talking to past professors. They're calling us, and, you know, do you know this guy? Have you ever met this guy? FBI people are calling us about this. You know, that serious stuff. Top secret. That's what it is. It's a serious, serious job. And there you are in the interview, and they're asking you, they ask you, what are your strengths and weaknesses? Well, I want the job, so here's all the great things I do, and I have no weaknesses. You know, I have none. I'm incredibly loyal. You use terms like this. I'm a team player, right? We throw those ones out. I work well with others. I'm committed, devoted, all that kind of stuff. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, we come across Christ, and he's hiring, is kind of what he's doing. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let's pray, and we'll continue with our message. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, thank you for just the sweet spirit here this morning. And God, thank you for rescuing sinners. Thank you for rescuing a sinner like me. Lord, thank you for, as the kids just played, paying it all. And truly, God, all to you we owe. Lord, as we study this passage out, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts and speak to us. And Lord, use your word in a mighty way. Lord, we sure do love you, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and have a service here today. God, again, thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you would testify and say, God has been merciful to me.
Amen.
Sure. Absolutely. Walks by these two guys, and what does he see? He sees them fishing, and he pretty much says, I want you on my team. And he says to them, follow me. That's Jesus' way of recruiting. I mean, that's how he does it. Brother Smith was here last week. He's down at Fort Campbell, and he's an Army recruiter. And his job, he sees any of our young guys. He comes up, hey, what are you doing with your life? You know, he starts that. Oh, man, you could do better than that. Your college would be paid. And he's trying to get our young guys out of their secure homes into the army. Why? Because he's got quotas to make. There you are. And maybe he really does believe in the things he's doing. Jesus walks by and his recruiting process is two words. Follow me. Where's the application process? Where's the, all right, Peter, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you work well with others? Do you take directions well? You know, when, do you think, Peter, do you think you're going to work well with me? But he didn't ask that. What do you need for vacation? Where do you see yourself in a salary cap? What can we work with? What sort of benefits? There's no 401k. There's no retirement plan. He just says, yeah, absolutely. He just says, follow me. Two words. Follow me. To which I ask, out of all the professions, why fishermen? Why fishermen? Why didn't he go down to the local law office? Why didn't he pick someone that could reason with somebody? He's a fisherman. I used to work at Wegmans, actually. And sometimes in the break room, you'd be sitting there and you'd get your 30 minutes or whatever it was. And quick, you'd grab a lunch and you'd be sitting down. And maybe you had a buddy that worked in another department. Anybody that worked in Walkery smelled like Walkery. And then the fish guy came in. I don't care how much he washes his hands. I don't care how much he smells like fish. It just gets inside of him. He spends time around fish all the time, handling fish. He smells like fish. There's not too many offensive smells that will repulse people as bad as fish. I don't cook fish many times at my house because I don't want my house smelling like fish. We grill out fish. Why? Because it's offensive. You don't smell it until you walk out and then come back home and it smells like fish in here. We're burning candles. So why do you pick these stinky men? There was no Old Spice. There was no speed stick. There was no Aquadigio then. There was no covering that up. So why fishermen? Why didn't he go to the doctors? Why didn't he go to the lawyers? Fishermen by occupation. That's what these men were. These weren't your weekend fishermen. These weren't the guys with the funny little hat and the box full of lures that they don't even know how to, they've just had them. They don't even know how they work. No, this was serious fishermen. These men weren't trying to get their face on the cover of the next fishing magazine. This was their livelihood. This is what they did for their life. At this time, fish was three times the value of meat. Three times. And this was their livelihood. So what characteristics does a fisherman have that God would put such a premium on? Why did he pick fishermen? Because he takes them, and he's very clear. He didn't bring Peter and Andrew in the team because of their job was to bring food. That's not it. Because they left all that. There was something about their life, the way they handled things, the way they were, that he saw this is going to be beneficial to the work of the Lord. They were common men. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. These are just two guys. Two brothers. Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers. There honestly wasn't anything special about them. They're just your local blue-collar guys. They just did their daily job and they just did it. They have. It doesn't explain to us their educational background. But from what I see from Scripture and what I understand of this career, this is something that is passed down from generation to generation. I'm a fisherman because my father was a fisherman. And his father was a fisherman, and my son will be a fisherman. That's just what they did. He didn't have to go to school for it. They probably grew up on the boat. They probably grew up around the docks. Started off, maybe at his 7th birthday, got his first fillet knife, right? By the age of 5, he got his first pole. By the time he was 10, maybe he was working with dad on the boat, out on trips, just your normal guy. Nothing special. See, God takes nothing special and turns it into something very special. And you might be walking around going, I'm nothing special. I have nothing to offer the Lord. You can't be more common than the fisherman. Just a normal guy that stunk. Hey, if you don't stink, you got one up on the fisherman. He doesn't give a resource list. Well, here's the people that can attest to my character. Peter and Andrew don't do that. Jesus just walked by and says, follow me. And that's what God is looking to use. For men to just come as they are and allow God to use them. Does that mean you're going to be a fisherman for Jesus? No. That means you leave it. You come as you are, you follow Him, and He changes your life around. Well, I have this great skill and great ability. He didn't need their great skill and ability. He didn't pick them because of their great skill and ability. He picked them because they were just common men. Understand this. You don't have to be some great, highfalutin person to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have classrooms filled with just normal kids. We have a church filled with just normal people. I think you're pretty special. But if you went out in the world, you know what? You would just blend in just like everybody else. God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That's who I want. I want just the normal guy. That's going to give up everything and follow me. I'm telling you, when we go downtown and you're trying to witness to somebody or you're on the street, you know what? The person you have the hardest time getting a track into their hands? One that looks like this. You know who you'll be able to best witness to? Just a guy in jeans and a t-shirt walking his dog. Just a normal guy. Oh, we need to go into the rich neighborhoods. That's what we need in this church. Rich people. That's not where Jesus went. I'm not saying if you have money that you're out. I'm just saying the common man has a great place in the work of God. Just fishermen. Common man. They were devoted to their craft. Point number 2. The lifestyle of a fisherman began very early in the morning. How many of you ever went fishing with grandpa before? Anybody do that? Maybe your uncle? Hey, we're going fishing. Great, grandpa. What time? I wake you up at 5. No, grandpa, the fish sleep at 5. No, the fisherman's day starts early. And it ends late. The fishermen, if they had a family, they wouldn't see them much because they're out through the busy season. Man, oh man. You know what? The Lord's work? Look at John chapter 8. The work of the Lord starts early. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Here we see Jesus early in the morning teaching the Word of God. Can I tell you, being involved in the work of the Lord, sometimes that thing starts way early. And sometimes it goes way late on the same day. What do you think the life of the disciple was like? Long days. How do you know that? As we've been studying in the book of John, Jesus multiple times just wanted to get up to the mountain just for a little alone time. He was tired. When he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, it says that he was wearied in his journey. He was tired. Why? Because he traveled a lot and talked a lot. You know, I bring up water here and say, man, you just started preaching. Do you need water? Yeah, but I taught a Sunday school class before this. You do a lot of talking. You need water. Hey, They needed some rest. Why? Because they were doing a lot of things. You talk to some people these days. Oh, I've had such a busy week. How much did you work? 25 hours. I didn't know what to do. Oh, my word. I had to work 2 8-hour days back to back. Whoa. Man, I can't wait to get in the ministry. Hey, I talked to our young people away at college, Bible college over at Solid Rock. They get them started early and they go long. Say, that's so rough. That's real life. Yeah. If they think that the work of the ministry is just this cake thing, you come in at, 9, 10 o'clock if you want to, and you're out by 4, that is not real. Nor was the life of the fishermen. And that switched over real well to the work of the Lord. What do you think the life of the disciple was like? Those were draining days. How do you have children? Man, sometimes, I said this the other day, but sometimes you just got to lock yourself in the bathroom for a minute. I need no questions for about 3 minutes. How many of you thought about changing your name? I don't want to hear the word dad anymore today. Dad, it's only 9 o'clock. I know that. You spent your dad's. It's done. Don't you think that's what it was like with the disciples? Constantly drawing on them? Constantly? Hey, they were prepared for that. They were hard workers. Number one, they were common. Number two, they were devoted to their craft. Hey, if they didn't get out there, they weren't eating. They had no care for their own personal desires. It's not like they would wake up and go, we moved a lot of fish yesterday. I'm sore. You got to get back out there. So it is with the work of the Lord. Man, we had a rough day yesterday. All right, I'm going to call it in today. No, that's not how the work of the Lord goes. You got to be in. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There are certain things you just can't teach people. And it looked like the fishermen to me had a commitment to work hard. And it was in their heart. And when they met Christ, that commitment to Christ just transferred over. They were committed to the fish, now they're committed to Christ. They were devoted to the craft. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway is another word like and immediately. They just dropped whatever it was that they were doing and went and followed the Lord. That shows faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Say they did boating on the weekends. Or how about this? They did their fisherman job Monday through Friday and then served Jesus with Jesus on Saturday and Sunday. Could we do that? No, that's not what it says. He says you're either all in or you're all out. And that's what he was looking for. Hey, as a fisherman, you got to be all in. Rain, snow, cold, windy, all of that. They weren't surprised when they found themselves. They knew what to do many times, as we see in the scriptures, when they were in the boat in the midst of the storm. They knew, row for your life. They were trained in that. They fell in those situations before. So it is with the work of God. Hey, keep going. Remember, you can't serve both. And God wanted them to make a decision. When he walked by and he said, follow me, he was expecting that they would drop everything and follow him. And that's just what they did. He didn't go, man, Peter, that was great. I'm so proud of you for just leaving him. That's just what he expected. You know, sometimes you and I, what do we need? Man, we need that pat on the back. Hey, you did a great job. I'm so glad you're in church today. That is amazing. Now, that's what the Lord wants from us. He expects us to leave everything and follow Him.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, as we said, we'll get our rewards in heaven.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God will bless that. He'll honor that. Be careful that you not seek the approval of men. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. Joshua, choose you this day, right? Isn't that what he said? Hey, pick right now. Hey, follow me, Peter and Andrew. Hey, let's talk about this. What do you think? Can we have a meeting with our dad? I really feel like I need to discuss this with somebody else. And I don't know. I don't know. What are you offering? No, that's not what they did. They immediately and straightway left their nets. They were no more devoted to the work of fishing, but to the call of God on their life. These were common men devoted to their craft. Now, as I study Matthew chapter 4, it makes sense why he went by and picked the fishermen. I see why he didn't go through the doctor's office. You know what would have happened if he went to the doctor's office? The doctor would have told Jesus how to do stuff. Oh, no, no, that's not how you heal people. Went to the lawyer's office. No, 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 that's not how you reason with that woman. No, he went to the common guy that didn't know anything. Just enough faith to follow Christ. And those are the men that turn the world upside down. Luke chapter 5. We have two more points. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 7. We could read the whole passage, but we'll just jump into verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners. These are Simon fishing here. In verse 7, and they beckoning unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter, here he is. You know what fishermen had? Not only were they just a common man, not only were they devoted to the craft, they had a strong network. Here, they worked in partners, pairs. They had to be close enough, I mean, to be able to shout across the lake there. Hey, we need help over here! Bring the boat over. The type of fishing that they were doing requires more than one man and more than one boat. They would catch the most fish by putting a net in between the two boats and then bringing all the fish in. We see that multiple times in Scripture. They relied on someone else's help. I'm going to serve Jesus alone. You're not going to do much. The fishermen knew that it worked better as a team. How many? Well, Christ called 12. Turned the world upside down with 12 people, and one of which went away. 11. Turned the world upside down. Romans chapter 14. It's good to serve the Lord with one another.
Amen.
Hey, maybe the Lord touches your heart about something. Hey, I'm really burdened for my neighborhood. We got a bunch of houses in there packed next to each other. Our house, the next house down the road, is about a quarter of a mile. Right. But maybe you live in an area and the Lord touches your heart. Hey, get another family. Hey, will you come out on Thursdays and let's go door to door together? What is that? That's partners. Partners. Hey, if you think you can do it best, you're going to do it alone. And you're not going to see much accomplished. Romans chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 7. Romans 14, 7 says, For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You need help. You need help. The teams that we have teaching Sunday school, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, why? People don't get burned out. We rely on one another. Later on, doesn't Christ send them out two by two in teams? Jesus, can I go alone? No, that's not what fishermen did. They did it together. You'll never see a fisherman running his own boat. He had a team. It was not about them, but about being most effective and catching the most fish, or men for the Lord. That's what they were looking to do. They weren't looking to get glory from themselves. That's not what fishermen did. They worked for the cause. And lastly, they were persistent. Usually, their labor was directly proportional to what they brought in. What does that mean? You work hard, you bring fish in. You don't work hard, you got no fish. You don't go out in the boat, you're not going to catch anything. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse 10, a verse all parents have committed to memory. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. My mom would quote that. Mom, I don't want to do my chores. You don't work, you don't eat. And she would say it just like that, like the captain of a ship. You don't work, you don't eat. Hey, I'm not going to make you a fisher of fish. I'm looking to make you a fisher of men. So I'm not seeing any results in my life. I'm not seeing people saved. I'm not seeing people discipled or baptized. I'm not seeing God do anything. Can I ask the question, what are you doing? Are you out in the boat? Are you trying? Are you casting out nets? Are you trying to bring anybody in? Well, don't the fish just jump in the boat? No, you got to go get them out of the water. Fishermen knew that. They were persistent. Christ was only going to be with them for 3 years, start to finish. And he was looking for some men that would take the job and keep it going. Not quit when it got hard. Not quit when persecution happened, that they would be persistent. Well, we didn't have a good day fishing today. Well, let's go back at it tomorrow. Joshua chapter 11, verse 15 says this, And as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. May we say that the same thing about Christ. We did everything Christ started. Joshua fulfills everything that Moses had started. Why? Because fishermen are persistent. They don't stop till the job is done. That has still not changed today. Christ is looking for men and women to get the job done. Not make excuses. You want an excuse? I'll give you an excuse. Today, don't come to church. It's windy. Someone look out there. Brother Tubbs, tell me what do you think the wind speed is right now? Zero? The trees aren't even moving. People are staying home today. I don't know. The wind's going to blow. I can't serve God. It's winter. I can't read. I misplaced my Bible. I don't have gospel track. And we can come up with excuse after excuse, but the fisherman, know what he does? He gets the job done. He's persistent. He's after it. He doesn't come up with excuses, although there may be some. He doesn't allow personal conflict to take place. And he doesn't quit. Doesn't quit. Funny that all of a sudden a fisherman is looking like a really good candidate. How'd the Lord know that? Because the Lord knows everything. When he went by, he didn't pick just two fishermen by accident. He did it on purpose. Because they had traits about them that would work real well serving him. Strange as this is going to sound, I think we need to be more like fishermen. Would Christ have come up to you and asked you to come? Would he walk by your way and say, follow me? Because the things that you demonstrated in your life would work real well in Christianity? Which of these character traits are you lacking? Are you too big that God can't use you? He's just a common man. Oh, I got bigger aspirations than that. There's nothing greater than the work of God.
Amen.
Are you devoted to the call of God in your life? Well, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my own thing for a little while. I'm going to get a good job. And then after I'm married and established, then I'm going to give my life over to the Lord. Save it. You can't serve both. He says, follow me today. Are you devoted to the call of God? How well do you get along with the brethren? Can you get the job done? Let's all stand. Who knew that fishermen were such a great choice? The Lord knew. And the things that they did, were they perfect men? Absolutely not. But they had some traits about them that would be beneficial for us today in the work of God. Hey, remember, don't make yourself too big that you can't serve the Lord. I got something bigger going on than the work of God, than church. There's nothing bigger than the work of God. Well, I'll do both. I'll do my thing and I'll do God's thing. You can't serve both. They'll conflict. How well do you work with others? And are you persistent? Or are you Mr. Excuse? Quit. Didn't go my way. I quit. I had 4 minutes of confrontation. I'm out. No, stop. Get back at it. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Now, maybe there was something in here that we could do better with. Lord, help us to not be so fickle. God, we would be so committed as these men were. Lord, help us not to... Lord, help us to work well with others. Lord, help us to not think too highly of ourselves that we can't even serve you. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, help us to be more like fishermen. Lord, bless this time of invitation now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's an area that you heard this morning that you'd like to come and talk to the Lord about as the music plays, would you come forward and... Say, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I got nothing to offer. I dropped out of school when I was 15. I got nothing going on. I don't know anything. I got no education. Perfect. Perfect. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that can take some orders. Devoted. Loyal. Can work well with others and is persistent. You didn't even want their boat. You wanted them.
right. Real quickly, I want to tell you about a couple things. Tonight after service, we're having a meeting for parents of teenagers to go over the month of March and some activities that are up and coming. I do want to let you know, next Sunday morning after service, I'd like to meet with our teachers for Vacation Bible School. I'd like to discuss our Vacation Bible School. Say it's only March. It's going to be here before you know it. And it does take a lot of prep and just getting ready. So if you're one of our teachers, please be at that meeting next Sunday morning. It'll probably be 5 to 10 minutes, which means about 15, but we'll shoot for 5 to 10. So there's that. I want you to, again, be thinking about in a couple weeks we'll have our next day of fasting, that next Sunday. That's 2 weeks church-wide, and it's also our Give It All Sunday. And, man, prayer and sacrifice, and, man, I don't know, just excited about that day. So March 10th, next day of prayer and fasting for that. There's a sign-up sheet out there for Mr. Colopy for some food. There's some pretty strong restrictions on there. It's got to be real soft a couple days a week. Miss Megan Warner is kind of putting that all together. So if you read that over and say, I have some questions, ask her. She'll be able to help you out. She wants to put some things together. They had to take Mr. Colopy last night to the hospital, and he came home early this morning, but just pray for them as they're adjusting with all that. It's not, now that he's out of the hospital, it's not as easy as just being out of the hospital, all right? So let's be in prayer for those things, all right? Why don't we pray, and then we'll be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you again for how good you are to us. Thank you for saving a wretch like me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our afternoon, bless all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Lindy's here. Lee, here's what you do. You go back and pick her up, like as if she's not in here. See what happens.